Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to day three of the February 2026 WAMC Fun Drive. A delight to have you here. First of all, a hearty congratulations to Ray, of course, and to the whole team in there. This morning, we had our Saratoga bureau chief, which was fantastic. We had, I believe, there were other people in there too, but they were before I was like awake and alarmed. But they did an amazing, amazing job. But to Aaron Shallow Levine, Ray Graff, and that group working just moments ago, along with the along with all of our volunteers, congratulations! Just a great, great job, and thank you very much. So much so that we are eerily close to the $1 million mark in the fund drive, and how cool is that? So, our job, our charge, the thing we need to do is to get to $990,000, and so we'll do that in just the next hour. And we're going to help us along. We have a $5,000 challenge from Peter and Marilyn Douglas. $5,000 if we make this money. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-WAMC. So we need, and I'll do the exact math in a minute. I'm a little slow on the math. But it's $7,500, and that's great.
Doable.
That's right. Your lips, God's ear, all that. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-WAMC. WAMC.org. Help us. That means that when Madeline and I are on, we can get to the $1 million point, and that is really important. 1-800-323-9262. So keep it coming. We'll get to 990. By 10 o'clock today, if everybody focuses, and we have a $5,000 challenge on the table if we make this. So let's do it. 1-800-323-9262. Let me introduce our wonderful panel. We'll get to our topics. As you know, we're doing things where we actually have a panel during a fund drive. This is the first time we've ever done that. It's going pretty well over the last 2 days, so my job is to make sure we don't screw it up today. Look at these wonderful people who are gathered in our studio. We welcome the incredible Robert Pendicio. Good morning, Robert. How are you?
I am well, Joe. Thank you very much. And may I wish my wife a happy anniversary. I was saying before we went on the air I raced out this morning, completely forgetting, because I'm always, honestly, a little bit anxious when I do the roundtable. I got to do my homework. Completely forgot that today is my 31st anniversary. Can you imagine having to put up with me for 31 years? That woman is going straight to heaven. Do not pass go. Not collect $200.
So you were married in 95?
That's correct. Good math. Yeah. So you are good at math.
No, I was married in 94.
Okay.
So I know that's how I know the years. But yes, well, congratulations. So you and I have been married exactly the same time. That's very cool. Robert, of course, is senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. We are thrilled to have him here. We welcome Emily Honan, a grants analyst based in Albany, New York, and certainly has a great background in looking at federal funding and state funding and its impact on businesses, municipalities, and nonprofits. And it's always a pleasure to have Emily with us. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I actually just got an email today when someone asked me, hey, your funding for this period has run out. And I said, actually, we requested an extension 4 months ago. And they said, oh, sorry, there's been some turnover. Let me forward this on to someone else. And I was like, great.
Right. Oh, wow.
So we're definitely like, you know, everything's moving really smoothly now, thanks to draining the swamp. So.
Well, it's good great. For you. Good for you. Emily, thank you for being here. And March Gallagher joins us, the Ulster County Controller and the former president and CEO of the Community Foundations of the Hudson Valley. And I read that. I read that credit to your bio because that just tells the world that you know where all the bodies are buried.
We're not going to talk about that, though, today. I'm so glad to be here. I'm excited to be part of a roundtable panel during the fund drive. I'm really impressed that we're doing three challenges in a row, and I know that's a heavy lift and it's hard to do, but you know what's harder? Not having good quality journalism. So I think it's worth it. Let's get it done.
And, well, here's a little secret. I don't know if everybody knows the little secret to WAMC fundraising, but they say, oh, you know, you're doing challenges. Yes. And you know why? Because they work. That's why we do them. They work. And we have wonderful people who are giving us money and are challenging us, all of us, to get our collective acts together, and it's really wonderful, and we thank you all. So we have a $5,000 challenge on the table now. We have $7,000 to make in that before 10 o'clock this morning, and we're going to make it happen, so let's go. 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC. All right, let's get to the topics at hand for our group, and... there is quite a bit to discuss, and we'll get to as many stories as we can. We do a breezy bit here.
There's no such thing as a slow news day anymore.
No, that's gone, right? Let's see. So I want to remind, by the way, if you want to get in the conversation, panel at WAMC.org, panel at WAMC.org. Hey, the shutdown's over. Do you know that? The shutdown that started over the weekend, and maybe you were severely impacted by it. Probably not.
No.
Didn't feel it.
But
one email about it.
But the House voted to end the government shutdown, and what that does is buys us, ready? 10 days before we go through the same damn thing again. Yay!
Well, not really true, because we're going to go through the same thing just on this Homeland Security bill, right? These other agencies have been funded for the year through September 30th.
Well, right, but even that's not a year. But okay, yes, but yes.
That can trigger a further shutdown, right?
Right.
My understanding is those other agencies are funded.
No, but I mean, what Robert is saying, which I think is accurate, is that if they don't come to an agreement on this, they could again shut down the government. Is that true?
Okay, we're going to have to do further research on that. My understanding is these other departments and agencies, like Labor, Treasury, Health and Human Services, Education, Department of State, all been funded. Yes.
So I think it would only be
Homeland
DHS.
Security.
It would be DHS.
And it's not even all of DHS, because ICE has funding from the One Big Beautiful Bill, but FEMA Transportation Security Administration, TSA, which are part of Homeland Security, their funding would lapse. So I think it's
Emily,
those two
isn't this
agencies.
Your job? Can you straighten us out here?
It is my job, but honestly, I know just as much about it as you guys do. But I think that is the understanding, because when I received the email about it, it was only it was a FEMA email for a grant that we have through FEMA, and they were just saying like, hey, you know, no one can draw anything down during this time. So, but I think that none of the other agencies were affected in that. So I think that it's probably going to be the same thing. Although I guess we have 10 days with which we can request funds. So. I guess that's how it's working.
I just don't know that leaves a lot of negotiating room for people who do want to see changes with ICE. I mean, ICE is going to be funded no matter what, right? Because we did have this funding in the One Big Beautiful Bill. And at least it sounded like a large portion of that was able to be used in any discretionary way. And I think that the Democrats that are seeking change for ICE operations, you know, they have a set of changes they'd like to see done, are the same people who are not going to want to see TSA and FEMA shut down.
Yeah.
So I wonder where it'll go.
I think it's just unfortunate. I feel like they're I don't really know what the other option is, but they're really starting out on softballs because like the demands that they're making are so, like, I don't want to say toothless, but I mean, they're asking for body cameras. Why does that matter? We saw the video. We've seen their faces. We know who they are. Like, it's not going to bring any accountability at all. And even that is seen as just too much for Republicans. And it's insane. I feel like they should have started way, way higher up and then negotiated down to what they're starting with right now.
Right. They were seeking face mask removal, requirement of judicial warrants.
The barest minimum you've ever seen. And then Republicans, who wasn't in the article, who's like, they're throwing a tantrum, asking for a candy bar. Like, all right, lady. I think you're the one throwing tantrum.
So, Joe, were you able to figure out?
So the U.S. House passed I haven't been able to figure anything out much. The U.S. House passed a set of spending bills Tuesday to end the partial government shutdown. And I think that really answers the question in and of itself, that it was a partial government shutdown because it was the funding of those agencies that you mentioned, while buying time for bipartisan negotiations over new accountability measures for immigration enforcement. President Donald Trump later signed them into law, reopening the government, which had partially closed early Saturday. The deal kicks off a 10-day sprint for Republicans and Democrats to agree on policy changes regarding how immigration and customs enforcement agents operate during immigration raids. If they do not reach consensus in time, the Department of Homeland Security, including the Transportation Secretary Administration security information, I'll try it again, the Transportation Security Administration and the Federal Emergency Management Agency will shut down on February 14th. ICE operations and the agency's other immigration efforts could continue because of the $170 billion appropriated for Homeland Security under the Republican tax and spending law passed last year.
So if I were to make a prediction, Joe, I would predict that the Republicans at this point would seem to have no conceivable upside to drawing this out. I've said this on the roundtable before. They've taken an issue that was, you know, Donald Trump's most popular and made it a liability. That said, the Democrats will reliably overreach and step on rakes because that's what they do.
Yes, that seems to be, spoiler alert, Robert, spoiler alert. But yes, it sounds like something like that. March.
I thought it was so interesting that you really saw kind of both sides of the aisle really not want to have a government shutdown. And I read with interest Trump's social media posting where he was saying that we're all going to work together here, which is, he said, we will all work together to address the issues that have been raised. It was a very sort of un-Trump-like statement.
Rather anodyne.
Yeah, and I was surprised by that. But I think really what it shows is that the first shutdown really did hurt the country.
Oh, yeah.
It really did hurt, you know, those folks that were sort of obstructing the process. And Republicans did not get the win that they anticipated. I think prior shutdowns, we've seen sort of the blame spread more evenly. And for some reason, this time, it really landed in the Republicans' lap. And they don't want to see that happen again. So to me, it's good that we're, you know, moving into the place where we're talking about policy. And we have both sides of the aisle saying we need to keep the government open.
Well, a shutdown always redounds negatively, right, March, to the party in power.
Well,
consistently,
but in this case, there
are midterms coming up, so that's obviously part of the calculus.
I was going to say last time, I think the Republicans really had this concerted effort to spin it. I mean, that was on every single website. If you went to any website during that time, it would say because of the malicious Democratic government's shutdown. I mean, they really had it, but this time I don't think that they're able to do that, and I think people are starting to see through it. I was on one congressman's Facebook page, and he got ratioed. There were only 700 likes to 1 million comments. And he was saying, like, oh, we're trying to reopen the government. All the comments in his, you know, his conservative district were saying, like, no, you ICE is overreaching and you aren't coming to, like, you need to do this. This is on you. You can't blame the Democrats. So I think that that's definitely a step in a good direction.
Previously, shutdowns, you know, when you shut the government down, people who want smaller government were sort of encouraged by that because you could say, like, look, we've been saying government is too big. We're going to shut it down. And there was sort of a resounding approval for that from some ranks in the community. And I think that this shutdown, particularly the way SNAP was handled, really caused a lot more problems for people who are anti-big government, because in the past, these shutdowns, the administration made exceptions for these social services programs that people rely upon. So they used other money to continue benefits like SNAP during the period of a shutdown. And this time, that didn't happen. And what you saw is constituents in red states really freaking out because they couldn't put food on the table, going to their elected representatives. And it changed the whole tone of folks who say, I want smaller government, therefore shutdown is good. It really showed us how important some of these programs are to people's daily lives.
No, I was making a slightly different point, and I'm never comfortable opining on politics on the roundtable, but I remember when that shutdown last year just went on and on and on, and there was the great temptation to talk about, well, what does this mean for the midterms? And Joe, and I think you and I both agreed, like, that's so far away, this has nothing to do with it. Well, now it's not so far away anymore. So that's why I think you're seeing this immediate, no, we're not going to shut the government down because neither party wants to play dice with the midterms.
A lot of pain was caused by that shutdown, you know, when these benefits were ceased. But in some respects, it really helped us understand what people are getting day to day from the federal government. And it brought to light just how dependent our communities really are on federal funding and what a, you know, tragedy it could cause if we take away some of these things without due regard. Now, I'm an auditor, okay, by training, by profession, I should say, not by training. I'm a lawyer by training. And in the audit profession, you know, we don't shut programs down while we audit them, right? We, especially programs that are life-saving and that are, you know, critical programs for people's daily living. So I think that the way we are going about wanting to change some of these things as an overall, as a country, is just not having enough compassion and is really not being done in a way that is workable for the country. You know, when you just say, like, we're going to just cease providing these types of benefits because we believe there's maybe fraud or there is fraud. We know, you know, there is waste, fraud, and abuse in almost every program, but it's not enough to cause the shutdown. And as an auditor, I don't recommend that in programs. I say that, you know, while we're auditing, we need to keep, you know, providing critical services while we look to make things better, take a more reasoned approach.
WAMC.org, 1-800-323-9262. We have a $5,000 challenge on the table, and we need to make $5,830 to do it. 1-800-323-9262. That'll get us to the $990,000 point in this fund drive, a whisker away from $1 million. Well, okay.
That's a thick whisker.
100,000 whiskers, but still. 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC. And can you be one to help get us $5,830 in the next 32 minutes? 1-800-323-9262. We have volunteers in the room. We have devices that are ready. We have computer software ready to process your pledge. WAMC.org, 1-800-323-9262. If you want to weigh in on the shutdown being over or any of the associated issues, panel at WAMC.org, panel at WAMC.org. But meanwhile, just the argument over the next 10 days on Homeland Security should be a winner, right?
A winner? Say more.
A winner for nobody, meaning this is like when you bring a date home and your father says, well, there's a real winner. Like that. Uh-oh. That is what I meant. That's how I meant that.
Okay. You had more interesting dates than I did, Jim.
It seems like judicial warrants is one of the things that we're not going to see a lot of movement on. You know, I think the Democrats want to have a requirement that judicial warrants are required. We're hearing a lot of Republicans say, like, that's a hard stop, like, no go. They don't want to see that happen. It really makes me want to go back to the drawing board and better understand the value of administrative warrants. I would like to learn more about that. You know, I I understand, like, we have certain, you know, constitutional rights, and people can stand at their door and say, you're not allowed into my house without a judicial warrant, and that's legitimate. But I'd like to understand the times and places, not just for ICE, but for all agencies, where administrative warrants really do provide value, because I feel like I'm not understanding the full breadth of the argument between the two things.
It's at times like this that I wish I were still teaching the high school civics seminar class that I taught at a charter school in New York City for several years, because I loved taking constitutional issues in the news and making that the curriculum. And this is just going to be such a fascinating debate. Because on the one hand, immigration remains a hot topic, so to speak. In other words, there's not it's still, I think most Americans by polls still indicate that they want strong immigration policies and whatnot. But on the same by the same token, they're not happy with.
Pull you off. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. It is our February fund drive. We are doing extremely well. We're trying to get right now, this moment, before 10 o'clock this morning, get to the $990,000 point in the fund drive. We thank you for being with us and helping us right now to get a $5,000 challenge. We are $5,431 away. So whatever you can do to help in that, let's go. 1-800-323-9262. Volunteers are around. They're ready to go. WAMC.org. 1-800-323-9262. $5,431, and we have a challenge on the table for $5,000 if we make $5,400 right now. So let's make that happen. Let's make it so. All right. I was not watching the clock, and I had to rudely interrupt Robert Pendicio as he was answering the question that I asked. So, sir, please, feel free to start over.
Okay. No, I was merely making the point that the debate that is in the offing on DHS is one of these kind of wonderful civic moments, right? Because on the one hand, Americans still favor, by every poll that I've seen, enforcement of our existing laws. On the other hand, the enforcement tactics that this administration has used have proven to be extremely unpopular, including among Republicans. So under normal conditions, this would be a terrific clarifying act of civic hygiene to have this debate. I fear that, you know, we're not going to have as rich a debate as we might given the politics of the moment, but it's still an essential debate for this country to have.
Yeah, I really hate, like, the reasoning that they're giving. It's like, all right, well, what's the reason for not having judicial warrants? I would imagine it would probably be, well, that would take too much time. That would hinder the process. And I think that the thing that they keep trying to push that I just don't think has any bearing in reality is that immigration is this huge, massive issue. It's the biggest thing that's facing our country today. It's all the danger. Like, I mean, these people are in the streets, you know. And really, that's simply not true. I mean, the majority of these people are just kind of living their lives. They like to make big examples out of everyone who isn't doing that. And it's created this kind of, I don't want to say witch hunt. There's a better word for it, but this false sense of extreme danger around immigration that just doesn't really exist. And it's the same with voter ID and voter fraud. That sort of thing happens on a microscopic level on undocumented immigrants voting. It's just not a real issue, and they're trying to make us believe that it is. And
I'm very worried about, you know, really we have a large immigrant population that is here legally, that has, say, temporary protected status, like the Haitians who came after the big earthquake.
Yes.
We have over 300,000 of them in the country. And if that temporary protected status is, you know, eliminated overnight, then suddenly they become undocumented. So, you know, I understand people's concern about undocumented immigration, but we also allow people to come across the border and apply for asylum. They were undocumented when they crossed, and then they become documented. So I think there's a lot of hair splitting that needs to happen here. And I agree with what Robert was saying. People are concerned about this. They want to see our rules enforced. I just don't know that they want to see asylum seekers and TPS holders, green card holders, you know, treated in the way that they're being treated. And I also think people are very concerned about, you know, black and brown people feeling like they have to carry ID everywhere they go. People being concerned about speaking with an accent, speaking a foreign language. You know, these are sort of an overreach that I don't think most people who want to see strong immigration enforcement want to have those types of actions occur. Yeah.
I know we're not talking about voter ID, but that's one of those, frankly, to me, inscrutable issues. I mean, I don't understand, frankly, even if you're on the left, why you'd be opposed to voter ID. It's not just an 80-20 issue. It's like a 90-10, even 95-5 issue. Both parties see no real objection. I mean, I understand the academic arguments, as it were, and the data-based arguments. But it's a very popular issue. I'm not sure if I were on the left, not that the Democrats take their lead from me, but I'm not sure why I would dig my heels in on that. It's you know, both voters in both parties seem to see no objection to photo IDs for voting.
Yet we have millions of people in the country who don't have the appropriate identification that they would
really
need to meet those requirements.
Millions?
Yep. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Millions?
Yep.
Have you ever tried to go to the DMV?
Go to the DMV in Ulster County. You'll have a great experience. We've had great clerks there who sort of manage the process well. But let me just say, I do not support the SAVE Act, and I think that's been part of the conversation. Mm-hmm. That's been part of the conversation with respect to this shutdown and getting through the shutdown. You had a number of Republicans who wanted to tie the shutdown discussion and approval of the funding here to approval of the SAVE Act. They wanted to see it wrapped in, and ultimately that was taken off the table. I think that's really good because no matter what you're going to do with voter identification, there are requirements in the SAVE Act that are absolutely atrocious. I do not have the name that is on my birth certificate, on my ID.
Hmm.
Because I got married, okay? So I still want to be able to vote. I mean, there are some basic things here. ID is not as easy as you think. I'd been going by my married name for 15 years. My child applied for financial aid, and all of a sudden I found out, no, the federal government, actually, Social Security Administration, objected. I couldn't file a FAFSA. Why? My married name was not actually on my paperwork, despite the fact that I had a legal name change, and I had been paying taxes under that name for 15 years. So, and it took multiple trips to the Social Security Administration to fix. That's the situation that people are in, and they don't find out until they get to the voting booth, so, or they get to the table to check in. So it sounds like it's a simple and easy situation, but it's not.
You have the resources to go to the Social Security office over and over.
Taking 2 days off of work, by the way.
2 days off of work, everything does. I mean, voting.
Or 17 hours on the phone.
Yeah, or 17 hours on the phone. I mean, it's just, there are a lot of... And it's interesting that I mean, they keep talking about, oh, you know, we want less federal oversight. We want less, you know, government in people's business. When getting your ID, that's kind of the epitome of that, especially, you know, if you have, you know, a criminal record or anything like that, that makes it even a little bit more difficult than it already is. And it's already very difficult.
No, like I said, I get the argument. I'm just suggesting that if it is a bugaboo for a large percentage of Americans, hey, why can't we have photo ID for voting? I don't understand why you wouldn't want to just resolve the issue by saying it's not that big a deal. Let's just make it so.
You know, I want to talk about that more, but
not today.
We only have 19 minutes, mm-hmm. and we're trying to make a challenge, and we need $4,800, 1-800-323-9262, wamc.org, but while we're talking about DHS and the funding, let's talk about the Trump administration just moments ago announcing that they're reducing the number of immigration enforcement officers in Minnesota after state and local officials agreed to cooperate by turning over arrested immigrants. That, according to the Border Czar Tom Homan, about 700 federal agents will be withdrawn from the immigration operation around Minnesota. Roughly 3,000 federal officers are currently deployed in the state, so not quite a third of that force being removed. But the news conference just finishing up in Minnesota, and we'll see ultimately what happens here. But that is, it seems to be a move, right? Mm-hmm. And it's something that the president has hinted to. It's something that had been talked about from the time that Tom Homan was replaced Bovino to come in and oversee things in Minnesota.
Yeah.
I think that moves like this can kind of there's a word for it and I forget what it is, but it's kind of like these little conciliatory motions that make people think that the
lulling
issue,
them
yes that the issue has been resolved, and so people go, oh, okay, ICE is out of Minneapolis, because I kept looking at the screen. I was saying, all right, 700 agents out, how many are actually there?
Right. Yeah.
And
still 2300.
And I think that's they're hoping that maybe this will quiet people down. I hope it doesn't. But it is, you know, weekly a step in the right direction. It's nice to see that, you know, they're being pressured, but I really hope that this is not the end all be all.
Well, and it's also, I'm not to further this too much, but I do think that it's also how those remaining officers
right.
act on the ground, yeah. too.
My understanding, Joe, is that within the administration, there's been an ongoing debate about immigration enforcement. And look, you know, I get that for some people, this issue is a third rail, period. But for you know, and I think, again, it is the majority of Americans who want to see our laws enforced. There's a conflict from, do we go after all illegal immigrants, or do we just go after those, as the president said when he was running for office, who are, you know, the bad actors, the criminals, etc.? Tom Homan, as I understand, represented that latter camp. He's the guy who wanted to get the bad actors out of the country. The Stephen Millers and others were like, no, let's just have a dragnet. So to the degree to which that more, to my mind, sensible approach is getting the upper hand, I have a tough time taking issue with this.
$4,600 is what we need to make our challenge. 1-800-323-9262. $5,000 on the table, $4,600 to go. We need to do this in the next 16 minutes. WAMC.org, 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-WAMC. Please help us. We haven't missed a challenge yet, and we don't want to miss this one or any of them. WAMC.org, 1-800-323-9262. March Gallagher.
Well, I think it's a good thing to see some step down in the number of federal personnel working on immigration enforcement. You know, they didn't say that it's, from what I see, okay, on the preliminary release of this information from the Homan press conference, they didn't say that it's ICE officers, right? It could be DHS. It could be FBI has been activated to assist in immigration enforcement. So we actually don't know exactly which personnel is going to be taken down. It's a good move. It's scary to think that Homan is the good guy here. You know, when you're talking about the split in the administration, but I understand what Robert is saying. You know, he's been sort of taking a more reasoned approach than others, and is certainly than Kristi Noem. But it's not enough, and it's probably not going to provide the relief that people in Minneapolis want. And I'm also concerned that Homan is tying further step down to cooperation by local officials. There are a number of jurisdictions in Minnesota, Minneapolis in particular, that have very strict requirements on local law enforcement and how they can work with national immigration enforcement. So I hope that this isn't a setup to be something that Minnesotans can't actually meet the requirements of. And I'm concerned about that.
Did he say in the press conference whether this was in agreement with Walz and Jacob Fry?
I don't know, because I was talking to you. But I will. So I'm only going by what's being reported out. But I will say that I'd also wonder, and giving them some credit, and I know that always goes well with our audience when I do that. But giving them some credit, I mean, if you're also working on the overall issue of the funding of DHS and how things are going to be going and what the next 10 days are going to be like, it seems like you probably tread lightly until you come to some conclusion, right?
There you go, making sense again, Joe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just going to simply agree.
Yeah. 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC, $4,100 now, 1-800-323-9262.
Oh, 4,100. I had a calculation that I was going to share with people just to say that, you know, that's $5.86 per ICE officer or per federal immigration officer leaving Minneapolis.
That is a great calculation.
We tie it all together.
That is very true. That is very
just
cool.
Just give $6 for each.
Very, very nice.
Each immigration officer
who's
leaving.
Going home. Yeah,
yeah.
Okay. We welcome you. We welcome you to do whatever you want to do and however you want to justify it. WAMC.org, 1-800-323-9262. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. 11 minutes before we end our time together for the panel. And then Madeline Reynolds and myself will be back in Pledge Central working with a wonderful community organization to try to help them and to help us. And we look forward to your assistance in that regard. WAMC.org, 1-800-323-9262, 1-800-323-WAMC. AMC, and so I'm going to do, because I do not have the March Gallagher pension for being able to figure out these numbers in such a quick fashion, but I will tell you that we are $2,902 away, 1-800-323-9262. So that is pretty good, but we only have 10 minutes to go. Everybody in, 1-800-323-9262, a $5,000 challenge, $5,000. We can't leave $5,000 on the table. Everybody has to be in. I will, kudos to Robert, was just there while we were doing the break. I said, what are you doing? He goes, I'm pledging right now. Right on the
phone. You can do it online,
like,
WAMC.org.
Pretty yep. Awesome. WAMC.org. Thanks to everybody for helping out. We are now down to $2,600. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-WAMC. All right. Let's take the time that we have remaining and talk about some other issues because, you know, there are many. That's what I've learned. There are many. Let's go to the other thing I wanted to. Let's see if I have time for all of this. The Clintons are going to testify. The Clintons are going to testify in regards to the Epstein case. Bill and Hillary Clinton agreed to be deposed this month by an investigative panel, but requested that it be in public. A request that the Republican chairman ignored. Now, they wanted, because originally the Clintons said no. And then they said, okay, then we're going to hold you in contempt. And then the Clintons said, okay, well, we'll do it. And they said, no, you said no, so we're going to hold you in contempt. And then this is from James Comer of Kentucky, the Republican chairman of the Oversight Committee. And then the Clintons again resisted testifying and accused the GOP of targeting them as part of a political vendetta. Mr. Comer said in a statement, once it became clear that the House of Representatives would hold them in contempt, the Clintons completely caved. So it seems to me we have all of this is being set up for a perfectly
reasonable
conversation and discussion testimony to be delivered by the former first couple.
You know how much I love talking about the Epstein scandal, right?
About as much as I do.
I know we share this. So what are you doing here?
We can talk about congressional oversight. I think that's the better way to frame it. Okay. And I think the Clintons are, first of all, they're not the Clintons of 25 years ago. They don't really have the same cachet in the Democratic Party that they used to. We have young Democrats who weren't even alive when Bill Clinton was, you know, president of the United States.
I hate to put her on the spot. Emily, were you alive when Clinton was president?
Was I? When was he president?
92 to 90. 2000.
For the past, the last 3 years.
Okay,
yes,
all right. Okay, good.
So it's a different Democratic Party, and I think that you're seeing the younger Democrats want to see congressional oversight authority to be respected, and that's why nobody really came to the rescue of Bill and Hillary Clinton when they were objecting to this kind of unfair and politicized format that is going to occur, because there's going to be taping of this, and then they're concerned about, you know, specific snippets being released. I understand that. And then I also want to note, you know, some of the policies that were, you know, achieved under Bill Clinton are not really favored today, including things like NAFTA and the 1994 crime bill. So, you know, it's just a different world that we're in, and you're seeing this younger party not care if they're hanging out a former president and secretary of state to dry. They want congressional oversight.
So can I ask a question that I really have looked for an answer. And if it's right out in front of me, I apologize. But I, for the life of me, can't find the answer to this question. Why Hillary?
No idea.
Why Hillary?
Probably, you know, revenge.
Is she in the Epstein files?
No.
Okay. He certainly is.
Yes.
Yeah.
But why her?
I mean,
so that's a thing.
Okay.
Okay, so that's a thing. The other is that in the discussions that have been taking place with Comer, Comer has said, "Well, we don't need to talk to President Trump because he's answered questions on this. He was on with Hannity and talked about this.
Mm. We've investigated ourselves.
We've investigated. That's different, right? Yeah. I mean, that is different."
Well, let me build on March's point. I mean, having expressed my disdain for this story at large, I do think the most important thing to say about it is that this is not a Trump or a Clinton story, not a Republican or a Democratic story. It's an elite story. Politics, finance, philanthropy, academia, you name it, they're all caught up in this. So if we turn this into a one-party morality play, we miss what actually went wrong.
I agree with you.
There's a butt coming.
No, I was taken back from the president. I mean, I wasn't surprised, but I was taken back yesterday when the president said, "Well, look, you know, this has come out. This has exonerated me. So we have to move on. This isn't an issue anymore." Yeah. And Caitlin Collins said, "Well, it is an issue to the people who were victims."
Sure.
And he said, "Hey, look, why don't you smile more?" And she said, "Well, I tend not to smile when I'm asking questions about sexual abuse and rape."
Ouch.
Okay, so there's that. But then there is the Clintons and what will come of that. And that just seems to me to be a circus in the making.
I'm happy to see Hillary Clinton testify because I saw her testify in 11 hours of Benghazi hearings and she was a rock. So bring it. I think this could blow up in their faces.
I would like to see the public. I like that clause and I hope it goes through.
I don't think it's going to. I think Comer is set to have it exclude the public. But, you know, Carville said that this whole circus is dogs chasing cars. And he says it's going to backfire. We'll see. I don't know if he's,
yes. Also, who has said that dog won't hunt?
Yeah.
1-800-323-9262. $1,900 is what we need right now to make our goal. We have 3 minutes. We can do $1,900 in 3 minutes. Come on, everybody. Let's go. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-WAMC. Rush to our defense. 1-800-323-9262.
$2.70 per
yes.
Homeland Security staff
it.
Leaving Minneapolis.
You heard it here. 1-800-323-9262. We need $1,900.
I missed the song, by the way.
The 1-800-323-9262 is outdated for a couple of reasons. Some of the stations, there are more stations there than, and also because we kept adding to it, it's like 17 minutes long. It's just.
No, just the jingle on the number.
1-800-323-9262. We can do that.
All right, yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody's giving me the evil eye over
here.
Don't
miss that. I don't miss that.
Some of us who have been here for a very long time, whenever that is done, a part of our soul disappears. Yeah.
Oh, no, I better stop. Yeah.
All right, let's make this. We need you. 1-800-323-9262. 1-800-323-WAMC. We're going to be going over to Pledge Central after a news break, and we will check in there. And we have really important work to be doing over the next 2 hours. And I'll be doing that with my on-air partner, Madeline Reynolds, who's fantastic, our associate producer of this program, and we'll be getting to that in mere moments. My thanks to Robert Pendicio. Happy anniversary to you
Joe.
Your lovely wife.
Thank you very much.
I enjoy the celebration. Emily Honan, it's always wonderful to see you, and today is no exception. I thank you very much.
Thank you.
And March Gallagher. A pleasure. Thank you for your quick mathematics.
Thanks for having us in.
We'll be back right after this.